So we learned a little bit about who makes Yayin Nesach, what is Yayin Nesach, non-Jews, Muslims, at what point is the wine subject to the Isur of Yayin Nesach or Maga Akum, you know, when you separate it from the grapes. Now why don't we discuss a little bit tonight about what is subject to Yayin Nesach, what types of wine, what types of wine products, and what types of grape products. Most commonly, the biggest problem the biggest problem is buying wine in bottles from non-Jews. And the biggest way out of it is mivushal, is cooking the wine. Because the Gemara says that wine that's cooked is not ra'ui l'nasech al gabei mizbeach. It's not usable for libations on the mizbeach, meaning avodah zarah, it's not really usable for avodah zarah purposes. Once that's the case, the Chachamim said not only is it mutar b'hana'ah, not only are you allowed to get benefit from it, you can also drink it. Even though usually you say that wine that's touched by a non-oved avodah zarah, non-idol worshipper, is still asur b'shtiyah. You still can't drink it, because we don't want you to have intermarriage. But when it came to this, the Chachamim lifted the gezerah altogether when it came to yayin mivushal, when it came to cooked wine. So the reason was because when you raise the temperature to the point that it boils, it loses a little bit of its alcohol, loses a little bit of its taste, gets ruined a little bit, and it's not really fit anymore. You wouldn't use this for Russian call. It's like the equivalent of, you want a blank piece of paper and you scratched it. You know, you got a little bit of dirt on it, like no one wants a dirty piece of paper. Yeah, but it's like most of it is still light, like it's still it's a dirty piece of paper, you wouldn't use it. So that's an example. So practically nobody really cooks their wine nowadays. Practically speaking, nowadays wine is pasteurized. Pasteurization means that they take the wine, they push it through some pipes, and at a certain point in the pipes, within a second it goes out to 180 degrees, and then a second later it comes down. That's called clap. It's well above Yatzolitiko. 180 degrees, that's what they do, usually pasteurization. When they... They're not doing it because of halacha, they're doing it to kill bacteria. So when they do it to kill bacteria, the question is that enough to warrant being called mivushal? Well, what's the point of bishul, we said? How do you define bishul in Hilchot Yayin Nesach? Well, you have to think for a second. Where else do we have a concept of bishul? Any ideas? No? Any ideas? Where do we also have a concept of cooking in halacha? On Shabbat. And how hot does it have to be on Shabbat to be considered cooking? 45
Celsius.
Which is... about 113 degrees, right. But sometimes in halacha, we have kulas and chumras in defining that shiur of Yad Soledibo, that I would recoil if I touched something that hot. When it comes to the chumra of Shabbat, I don't want to be over on Bishul. So therefore we say 113 is the minimum level. You can't enter this range. But there is an upper limit also. And we want to get out of a certain averos. You need something to be mivushal. You need to reach that upper limit as well. It depends on what we're talking about. Some types of kashrut, we can be more mekel. Some types, we can be more machmir. So I don't think this is a machloket chasidim. Everybody basically says 175, 180 is the gedder, the upper limit for bishul when it comes to the Yayin Nesach. The question is this good enough when you pasteurize it? It reaches that 170, and if you tell them, do 180, they'll listen to you. For Moshe Feinstein or Ramadia, they told the factories, do a little bit more, be machmir, it's okay. And they said, fine. The question is that even worth it? Does it even work or not? So how do you define it? Because it seems to be a machloket, or at least two competing definitions provided for bishul. According to the Yerushalmi, it has to be rotachat. It has to be bubbling. It has to be boiling. Whereas according to the Geonim, it has to lose a little bit of its vapor. It has to evaporate a little bit.
Does either happen with past position?
So let's think about it. It's in a pipe. It'll reach that bubbling thing, but the vapor is going to come right back in. Even if it evaporates a little bit, it's in a pipe. It's not going anywhere. If it was an open vat and it bubbled, then the vapor would go out. But not necessarily. Question is, when the Geonim said this idea of vapor, were they arguing on the Yerushalmi? Were they explaining the Yerushalmi? Were they just giving you a tool to note at what point is this what happened? This is what happens. But maybe bubbling is the same time. Maybe there's no machloket here. That itself is a discussion. Some say that you have to go zil batar tama. You have to go by the reasoning. The reason is that it's supposed to lose its quality. And when you pasteurize it, some Geonim talked to experts in the wine connoisseurs, wine in the wine industry, and they said, does pasteurization change the taste? So some experts said yes, and some experts said no. Maybe it goes by what common man understands, not wine connoisseurs. I have to figure that these are all discussions in the Gedolim, in the poskim of the past 50 years, to figure out what the halakha should be. At the end of the day, Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach and Chacham Ben Sion Abashao, and Chaim's Rebbe from Parat Yosef, both said that it's not good enough to pasteurize your wine, and you have to consider that it's not mevusham. So unless the wine bottle was either made by Jews, or it says real mivushal on it, not pasteurized, depends on your kashrut organization, how they'll identify that for you, how they'll write that on the label, it would not be kosher according to Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach or according to Chacham Ben Sion Abashal. Happens to be Rav Moshe Feinstein, Rav Ovadia, and Rav Ben Chaim all take the other approach, that as long as it boils, Chabibi Gamarnu, like you don't have to worry about anything else, it's good enough at that point, it could be considered mivushal.
Pretty much all the things we have today will be, unless it says specifically lo mevushal.
Right, and usually it does. So sometimes usually says lo mevushal on it, if it's not.
Yeah, but I'm saying right. Other than that, everything else since they want to kill bacteria, the
Correct.
Process is mevushal.
Correct. Sometimes they might not even do that. You have to check the label, see what it says.
In a nutshell, I don't want to take
it. No, please.
In a nutshell, what's mevushal?
Mevushal means cooked. We're discussing kosher wine. Yain Nesef is wine that was used for Avodah Zarah. That, Min HaTorah, is Asur, you can't use that ever. Chachamim said, for two reasons, you can't drink or benefit from non-Jewish wine. One is because of intermarriage, therefore you can't drink the wine, because lest you think, oh, this is such good wine that you know Mr. Carmichael makes, let me go buy more, and then you like him a lot, you spend time with him, and eventually, intermarriage can marry me unhappy. And there's another thing. Once we made that first level very logical gezerah, the Chachamim locked on an illogical gezerah. They said, there's a very, very far-fetched chance that when the goy had this wine in his wine cellar, he took it and, you know, poured it for his idol. And now he's selling it to you, or he's giving it to you. And because there's such a chance, Chachamim said you can't even get any benefit from it. Just like real Avodah Zarah, you can't get any benefit from it, so to hear. And not only that, that's Stam Yenam. That's just regular wine that I purchased from them. Even if, let's say, I have my own wine, and the goy comes and touches it with his finger, and he shakes it around a little bit, that is Asur also, just as much. So there are all sorts of parameters to figure out what's considered touching, but the problem here is that maybe when he did it, he had in mind that he should do this for his idol. So it's so far-fetched, but the way the Chachamim decided to make this gezerah, this decree, they did it in such a way that they wouldn't have done it on their own. But since there was an existing one about intermarriage, they added an extra layer or two. Yeah?
Are there different standards for, let's say, like wine would use for like any of the purpose versus wine would use for like marriage?
Oh, I don't think so. I don't think so. The question is, in general, can you use grape juice? But in terms of bishul or not bishul, just a better tasting wine, they say, that when it's not mevushal, it's not cooked, it's not pasteurized, that's what they say is better tasting wine. Because the alcohol is still fully there. You have to like Google. Nowadays, kosher wine is very, you know, well done. But you know, go back to 15, 20 years, whatever, people were always complaining, kosher wine is horrible, it's terrible. You can only buy non-kosher wine. That's what people used to say, if you want to have good wine. Nowadays, it's not such a big deal. You have so many Israeli wineries. So you can find something that you like, probably. Even if it's mevushal, you'll probably find something that you like. And if you don't, so go to you can buy non-mevushal ones. Not a big deal. But I don't know that there's a distinction in general, you know, what you should, Shabbat or other things in terms of mevushal, non-mevushal. Just whatever you like more.
Right.
He doesn't believe in idol worship.
Yeah.
So we talk about a ger tosha, a person who says, I don't believe in Jesus, and he's not converting to Judaism anytime soon, and he hasn't yet, even if he's on the way. So for him, you're not choshesh for idol worship, because he doesn't have an idol. But you still can't marry his daughter. So there's an intermarriage issue either way. Question is, how do you become an atheist in halacha? How do you become a non-Jewish atheist in halacha? In Jewish atheists also there's a question. We're going to talk about that another time. Much more complex. So yeah, about what happens if the husband was an atheist? And then he dies. Does the wife need chalitza or not? It's a whole crazy topic for another time. But just to whet the appetite for another time. So some say that if b'diavad she got remarried without getting yibum from when the husband was an atheist or when the yavam, when the brother of the husband.
Yavam could be kasher.
Either way. Let's talk about either way. But let's say he became an atheist. Mivamot, the Geonim, it's crazy shita of the Geonim, but for another time. Maybe he has to not be an atheist, maybe he has to convert to another religion. Also a question. Yeah, so, but in terms of non-Jews, there's a question in Halakha, how do you become an atheist? The Kesef Mishnah talks about this on the Rama. How do you become an atheist? If you come from a non-Jewish idol-worshipping nation, so then, by definition, you're an idol-worshipper. So maybe you have to do something more than just saying, I'm not an idol worshiper anymore, to lose your status of an idol worshiper. Maybe you have to say, I'm accepting on myself the seven mitzvot of B'nai Noah, which one of which is, you can't worship idols. Others say, the other possibility presented by the Kesef Mishnah is that just a Kabbalah ba'alma, acceptance of sorts, that, you know, I'm not an idol worshiper anymore, is satisfactory. These are a number of different approaches, but atheist, I think, even though he doesn't serve Hashem, should be just the same. As long as he says, I don't believe in idols, so his wine is only asur b'shitiya, not b'hana'a. His wine isn't prohibited from, benefit only from drinking. So that's the story by Yain b'fustar, Yain b'bushal. That if it's pasteurized, it's machloket, and we have plenty to rely on, that it's mifustar. It's just pasture. No, it's a modern word. Pasteurized. Mefustar. Mefaster is to pasteurize. Okay. There are a lot of Hebrew words out there that are really English words. Yeah. Mefustar. You'll find that sometimes on the bottle. It says mefustar. Right. Sometimes you'll find English mefustar on the bottle also. It depends on the kashrut that they have. They might write mefustar, not Yusha. Right. They'll write that it's mefustar. That way you know if you hold a mefustar is good, so great. If you hold a mefustar is not good, so too bad. Like,
you
know the stars good. Yeah. Yeah, we do. If you're going to have their private opinions, that's all fine. Okay, fine. Now, that's what kind of wine is subject. In terms of the first major topic is yain mevushal, yain mefustar. Second major topic is vinegar. The two small topics first, then we'll get back to the major topic. Sorry. Vinegar is a question. It's not wine anymore. No one's going to use vinegar for his libations on his first avodah zarah. So that... this was a major machloket between Rabbeinu Tam and his student Rabbeinu Meshulam. Rabbeinu Tam has a sefer called Sefer Yashar. It's two parts. One is a part on Shas, on the Gemara. Another part is Shelot Teshuvot. In the Shelot Teshuvot, there's a series of like five letters that he wrote back and forth, the correspondence between him and Rabbeinu Meshulam, where he heard that Rabbeinu Meshulam said a few things in his Parsha Shir that he didn't like. So he writes, you're an apikoris, you're an idiot, how dare you? It's against the Gemara, it's against the Halakha, you can't write these things, what did I teach you? All these wonderful things about his student. And then his student responds, no, I was just telling you the Pshat and the Pasuk, I was giving a Parsha Shir, not a Halakha Shir. He's like, I don't care, you're wrong, you can't write that. Bunch of different topics, Hilchot Mikvaot, Hilchot Korbanot, all sorts of things Rabbeinu Tam screams at Rabbeinu Meshulam for. One of them is this. Rabbeinu Meshulam said that vinegar, chomet, is not subject to yain nesef. So Rabbeinu Tam, he's from the Rashi family, they're within the wineries, right? So he says back to Rabbeinu Meshulam, not that you're an idiot, but in the winemaking process, sometimes you have wine that's still fermenting, and it tastes like vinegar, but it's not yet vinegar. So you don't really know. And if you have a safek, you should be mafmeh. That's the opinion of Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Meshulam wasn't a concern. So, in Shulchan Aruch, we hold, in this case, like Rabbeinu Meshulam, that we don't... It's quoted. Sefer Yashar was known. And also, there was the other Baal Yavad Tosafot quote these things from Sefer Yashar. Sometimes it's a little bit different, which is really interesting. Sometimes it's a little bit different. In Hilchot Shav Rachel, there's one case that's different also. How many cups you need. But that's for another time. So this opinion, this Machlok, Rabbeinu Tam, Rabbeinu Meshulam, where it has two parts. The first part is by vinegar. That part we pull like Rabbeinu Meshulam, that's not a problem. And in fact, the Rashba says, if you pour the vinegar on the ground and it bubbles so much, you know that for the past 3 days it was also vinegar. Because it's so intense already, it must be it already became vinegar not so long ago. So therefore, if someone touched it within the past 3 days, you don't have to be worried. You know that a goy touched it on Sunday. On Monday you go and you pour it and you see bubbles, you don't have to worry if the goy touched it.
Oh, because it became vinegar.
Because it became vinegar already, it wasn't a problem. So, and this is very nice, but the OU claims, at least one of the rabbis in the OU claims, that nowadays our vinegar is not the same as their vinegar. Even the most intense, concentrated industrial vinegar in the massive vat in the factory doesn't bubble when you pour it. So clearly our vinegar is not the same vinegar that they had. That's what the OU claims. At least one of the rabbis in the OU claims. This is very, well, knows his halakha very well, knows his science, food science very well. Also, that's what he says. But okay, so also nowadays vinegar is not always made out of wine. Vinegar is sometimes made synthetically, sometimes it's made out of mibushal grape juice.
But according to the OU, that rabbi that says
yeah.
that
you can't buy regular vinegar. And anyway, you can't buy regular vinegar because regular vinegar could be made of all sorts of non kosher synthetic ingredients. So you have to, all these things that they add to it. So anyway, you can't buy regular vinegar without a hechsher. But that's how you want to buy Heinz red wine vinegar that's made out of mibushal grape juice.
That's
mutar. That's mutar.
But if I buy some vinegar, I can push it from possibly touching it. Vinegar OU, nothing
to do. I don't know how Halakha L'Maaseh what to tell you, but yeah, it sounds like according to the OU, yeah, you have to be concerned. That was the case that they got. Someone called the OU and said, my housekeeper picked up my vinegar in the refrigerator. And she put it back down, or she added vinegar to the salad, and she shouldn't have. And now what do I do? So at first, the Abba is like, well, it said black on white Shulchan Aruch. Vinegar isn't subject to Yayin Nesach, to Stam Yenam. But then he's like, wait a minute, let me go double check. And he went and figured it out in the factories that it was, in fact, not the same. So that's what he thinks. The other machloki between Rabbeinu Tam and Rabbeinu Shulam is by boser. Boser means grapes that haven't fermented, haven't ripened yet. You take these not ripe grapes and you squeeze them and you get juice. That, according to Rabbi Mishulam, is not good enough to be considered yayin for yayin nesech, and according to Rabbi Tam, it is considered yayin. In this case, the Shulchan Aruch paskins like Rabbi Tam. He's concerned for this shita of Rabbi Tam that not ripe grapes, their juice is going to be a problem of yayin nesech. Those are two small topics. Now, let's move on to the other interesting. Very, very interesting topic. A very, very well-known and not accepted opinion of the Rambam. The Rambam quotes Hilchot Ma'achal Asurot in the Halachot of Yayin Nesach. The Rambam quotes a very interesting opinion of the Geonei HaMa'arav, of the Geonim from Eretz Yisrael. He quotes that these Geonim who say, we say every single day, Chol Seor V'chol Devash, Lo Saktiru Mimenu Yishel Adonai. But you can't bring Seor, sourdough, or You can't bring honey on the mizbeach. Not date honey, not dvash tamarim, but real bee honey.
Oh, real bee.
Real bee honey. You can't bring that on the mizbeach. Real bee honey. You can't bring a real bee honey on the mizbeach. So the Rambam learns from there that anything that you add spices or sweet things like honey into the wine. The Geonim say, is posel the wine for the Mizbeah. Even if it's a drop of little honey, a little drop of honey, you take your honey, you squeeze a drop,
sugar,
into a massive vat, sugar, all sorts, any spices, whatever you add in, even if it doesn't change the taste, you can't patel the gamre.
Is it all our wine today? It's not according to
the Rambam. According to the Rambam, everything we have today is shakol. It doesn't count at all as yain. You can't say kiddush on it even. And according to the Rambam, it's all. I said shakol. It's machloket if the Rambam connects shakol, hagefen, bracha, and this status of wine. But let's just say, according to the Rambam, you can't use that as kiddush. That for sure he says explicitly. You cannot use it for kiddush. Because you need to have wine that's kasher l'aseich al gavim mizbeach for kiddush on Shabbat also. So this was a major opinion of the Rambam, and it was majorly rejected by other Rishonim. And that's what it says in Shulchan Aruch, not like the Rambam. And as until the wine's taste is changed by whatever you add to it, honey, spices, sugar, whatever, it's still wine, it's still a problem, huh?
What the wine tastes based on the sugar we add to it?
It's if you add your wine. It depends how much it tastes. If it changes, yeah, it's a problem. It's not a problem with Yayin Nesach anymore if it changes. It might still be Agafim, but it's not a problem with Yayin Nesach anymore. So that's all very nice. So the Rambam's opinion was rejected, but there's one community in the world that did follow the Rambam. The community in, I don't know what they did, but they didn't have this problem. but on the community in Mitzrayim, because Rambam was the Nagid, he was the Jewish governor of Fustat, of Cairo, ancient Cairo, and the Rambam lived there, and that's what they followed. They followed the Rambam. In Mitzrayim, even until 100 years ago, the Minhag was like the Rambam. That it, because they didn't have any wine production in Mitzrayim, they didn't have any wine factories, any wineries in Mitzrayim. So they had to import wine from Crete 500 years ago in the time of the Rabbaz. David ben Zimra was a contemporary of the Beit Yosef. He lived in Mitzrayim at one point. So in his day, they needed to import wine from Crete. So the Jews in Crete are sending wine with Goyim all the way to Mitzrayim across the Mediterranean, or halfway across the Mediterranean. Or south, not even across. Across is very long, south is very short. So the Jews in Crete are sending it to Goyim. So how do you prevent it from becoming pasul? Because of all the Goyim who are handling the wine, you drop a few drops of honey into the vat of wine and everything is kosher.
Even for
kiddush, for drinking, geffen, everything. That's what they did in Mitzrayim. Now there's different versions of this Radbaz. But the way the Nahar Mitzrayim, Rabbeinu Rafael Aharon and Shimon, who was the chief rabbi of Mitzrayim, articulates it and discusses it and elaborates, the Halakha L'maaseh said this was the Ikar. They were really, really, really following the Rambam. They also had a few other reasons. This was the only wine they were ever going to have. It was Hafsed Merubeh. But the Ikar was like this, like the Rambam. That's what they followed. The Chida says this. Many, many Achronim testified to the fact that this was the Minhag in Mitzrayim, and that's what they do. Especially if you have a Safek, and you let's say even in general you need to have two Chotamot. In general you need to have two signs on your wine, like two things that distinguish your wine, close it and seal it so that the Goyim, you know for sure the Goyim didn't tamper with it. Double seal. When it comes to this, they said, okay, a single seal is good enough, you can get away with all sorts of things. And that's what they did in Mitzrayim. That's the halacha, the sugya of divash, according to the Rambam. Finally, the interesting halacha is what happens if you change the wine? What happens if you change it up? You distill it, and you make arak. You make some whiskey, you make some vodka out of your wine. What happens to the wine? So you change it, but the thing is, this is isurei hana'a. When it comes to, let's say, gelatin, bones of a pig, of a camel, of whatever, are asur, to eat. But if you grind it up and you make it into gelatin, it's nishtaneh, even though you consider it to be something important, it's mutar. You can put it in your food and it's all okay. And it's 100% fine. You put it in your medicines, you don't have to worry about anything. But when it comes from isurei hana'a, when it comes to things that you can't get any benefit from, not things that you can't get any eating from, such as, let's say, yai nesech or avodah zarah, even if you change it, Habibi, if you're not allowed to benefit from it, no matter what it looks like, who cares? If it used to be a big thick thingy of bone, and now it's a little jelly that's all jelly-ish, spongy and whatever. It doesn't matter if it's not the same anymore. So that's why arak, which is made out of wine, or even better, it's not even made out of wine. It can be made out of the wine residue, out of the pulp of the grapes, out of the skin of the grapes. It's also something that needs to be mibushal. The Chida writes, that's why all of our arak is mibushal. But if you know that, let's say, it's not mibushal, then you have to seriously be concerned that maybe it was touched or handled incorrectly by a goy. Anything that's a wine spirit. Anything. Huh?
Wine spirit.
It's made of wine. I said vodka and it's not. I don't even know. I don't drink enough alcohol. But whatever, whiskey, for example, made out of wine. I think so. No, whiskey's made out of wine. No? Okay. So what is? Vodka is?
Vodka is potato.
Vodka is potato. Okay.
You just said that a bottle of water is.
Yeah. It's okay. Yeah.
So lard is enough?
I know what lard is. Lard is fat?
Lard is. That's why you don't eat non-kosher now.
So Rabbi Chaim says that if you know that everything in the wine is kosher, and the only thing is that they added gelatin, it's okay. If you know, no, you have to spend a lot of time looking up everything. If you know, you can talk to Rabbi Chaim about this. This is this. Everybody talks to Rabbi Chaim about this. Harav Amar Shem Mutar Lechol Matzik. Matzik. If you know that everything is kosher. The only thing is that they added some food coloring, which who cares if it's kosher or not, and some bone gelatin. So okay, it's fine. Yeah. Okay. Thing is, you need to make sure that in the Ashkenazi world they're much more strict when it comes to these things. Because in the factories, you have no idea what was put on the factory yesterday or today. So Rabbi Chaim has his opinions about it. You can talk to him about it. But it's one of those, everyone loves to talk to him about this opinion. We spent a half an hour talking about this yesterday in our shiur. I sent him on such a tangent, it took a long time. Thank you for coming. So anyway, let's finish this off. As I shall finish this off, I don't want to hold you guys up. You have to go to the shiur. It's fine. So the idea is that even if it changes, it's some wine spirit, it's like some high percentage alcohol, whatever, it's still asur. You can't get hana if you can't get hana from it. So how come the chatam? How come the chatam sofer says that grape seed oil is okay? They're like, who cares about grape seed oil?
Well,
grape seed oil. So let's think about this. Grape seeds come from a vat where there was hamshacha, where you separated the wine, the liquid, from the grapes. Now, that whole vat is subject to maga akum. So the goy touches it. It's completely asur because there's wine absorbed in the seeds. There's grape juice absorbed in the seeds. The Gemara says you have to wait 12 months for the grape seeds to dry out. And then you have to wash them, and then you can use them for your foods or whatever hana'ah you want. So grapeseed oil, the Chatam Sofer, is this Gishmak story. Rabbeinu Yonah writes that there used to be this animal that produced this secretion. It was a secretion. It's some hormone or whatever enzyme that it produced. Whatever, you took this secretion, you put it in your food, it tasted very good. Rabbeinu Yonah says it's okay. It's pure Shabbat Alma. It's just a secretion. It doesn't count for anything. You can't eat the bone, you can't eat the leg of a pig, but you can eat its feces. You can eat, if it wasn't disgusting, you could eat anything that comes out of it. And that's okay. Milk is a different story. But anything that's a secretion, not milk, that comes out of it is okay. So, Rabbi Yonah says it's okay to eat that thing. So here also, the Chatam Sofer says that, why? Because it's nishtane, change. Now I took these grape seeds. I mashed them up big time. And I made oil. I changed. Chatam Sofer says it should be okay. And therefore he says it is okay. So, Rav Avadia explains, what do you mean? It's Yisurei Hana'ah. You can't get out enough from it even if you change it up. What's going on? So he has five or six answers. I forgot already. I'll tell you the basic two answers, and then the rest we'll save for another time. The basic two answers are that when they make the grapeseed oil, first they dry it up. So that got rid of all the wine. Very simple. They dry up the grape seeds. They heat it up in the factory till it gets super dry, and then they crush them. So there's no wine left anyway. And even if they didn't do that, when they crush it up, the oil and the wine don't get mixed up. The oil comes out and the wine gets lost. There's no taste of wine left anyway. So therefore, it would be batel, and the grape seed oil, which is separate already, is mutar. So now, that's the essence of why grapeseed oil is kosher. Now, let's just do chazara, and then we'll pause for today. We spoke about what kinds of wine and grape products are asur and mutar, what's subject to the prohibition of maga akum and setam yena. First, maga akum is touching, and setam yena is ownership. He owned it, I can't buy it from him, yeah. Because Rav Choshesh, maybe he used it already. Now we spoke about mivushal and mifustar, when you cook it and when you pasteurize it. We said there's two opinions, it's good or it's not good for pasteurization, depending on what you understand the position of the geonim to be, when they say it has to have some evaporation, as opposed to just boiling once. That's Rav Moshe Feinstein or Rav Avadia say it's okay, that's Rav Chaim Paskins also. We said how is a famous opinion of the Rambam, that any amount of honey, not just enough to change the taste, not enough to taste, change the taste, but anything will remove the prohibition of maga akum if it didn't happen yet, of course. And that's what they did in Mitzrayim, and nobody else follows that. They discussed vinegar, which might not apply nowadays, and boser, which is the unripened grapes that you squeeze. Both of those are machlokin, Rabbeinu Tam, Rabbeinu Shalom. We hold like Rabbeinu tam for boser and like Rabbeinu Mishulam for chometz. I said it backwards, meaning I said chometz second and boser first. I apologize. Distracted. Okay. Anyway, I tried to think maybe tam and chometz, but boser. There's a mem in three of the four options, so it doesn't really, it's no good to remember. Okay, fine. Rabbeinu Tam and Rabbeinu Mishulam and boser. Okay, good. Good, exactly. So chometz, you don't hold like Rabbeinu Tam though. Well, boser, you hold like Rabbeinu Tam. Yeah, we're machmir by boser, mikel by chometz. So we might have, except we might not have boser nowadays. And when we said arak is aser, wine spirits of you know, high concentration that have been changed, even if they're made out of the residue of the wine, out of the grape juice itself. And grapeseed oil, however, would be okay, even though it's yisuri hana, because it was dried, because it was separated on its own, and therefore it's utar. Baruch Adonai Le'olam. Amen, amen. Okay, guys, sorry for keeping you late.